greenplanet.com/greenplanet.
Good afternoon, gardeners. Welcome to Garden Planet. You're with Selena and special guest Bev today, and we're going to talk about flowers. Hi, Bev.
Hi there, Selena.
Now, Bev is a long-time member. No, actually, we're actually new members, but we're in a club that's been a long time, the Tiaratu Garden and Floral Circle, and that's been going for 55 years, hasn't it, Bev?
Yes, yes.
And I've been a member for 2 years.
And I've been a member for 4 years.
And we're learning all about gardening and flowers in our circle. And it's great fun, isn't it, Bev?
Oh, absolutely.
So the reason why Bev is here today is because she's the lady that helps us ID our flowers when we have our meetings each month. And now, Bev, I've heard that you're from a nursery background, so that's how you get to know so much about flowers.
Yeah, so it was a garden centre, a retail one, and you do get to know them very easily, but there's a lot of different things that you don't get to know that older gardeners have in their garden, and that's where the garden club is good, because they bring in different things that I don't know about, but I do learn.
Yes. There's lots of older gardeners in our garden club, and it's just wonderful to learn from their experience, isn't it?
Yes.
The garden club is going to be going for 55 years, and we're having an anniversary in June, and we've planned a high tea to do with our floral theme. So it'll be all fancy with frocks and things like that.
Have to play ladies.
Yes. So it's all good fun. And so if you're wondering what a floral circle does, Bev, can you share with us what kinds of things that we do?
Well, it's a good place to bring in any plants that you've got excess of. And for new people, it's great because then you can obtain plants that you'd never get from a garden centre anyway. And and that's how we make a little bit of money. They're really, really cheap. So everyone rushes in and has a look at that table and see what comes in, eh?
Or we take our excess and give cuttings and things.
Yes.
So these rare plants that, no one else might have, or they're not for sale.
Yeah, it's a good way to keep them going.
And another thing we do is we have flower competitions. they're not too serious. Like, one part of the competition is we bring a flower that's growing in our garden, like the best bloom, and we put it in a vase, and everyone else gets to judge what they think the best bloom is.
Yeah, that's good, that, isn't it?
Yeah. We also have, for the floral designers amongst us, we can make a display each month.
Yeah, it's a shame that not more people get into that, but I think people think we have to be too fussy about it, and it'd be nice just to give it a go, I think.
Yeah. They have a theme each month, and so maybe it's for Easter, it was like Easter, and then sometimes it's like a sea theme or a water theme, or and then you try and create a floral design according to that theme.
Yeah.
And it looks really good. And then we give it out to the hospice, don't we? Or we put it on display?
Yeah. Usually, that doesn't go to the hospice. There's other ladies that make arrangements for the hospice each month.
Ah, okay.
That's in a different thing altogether.
Yeah. So the hospice, we just bring in flowers just to brighten up their life, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm really enjoying the club. And also another thing we do is go on gardening trips.
Yes, that's the best part, isn't it? Seeing other people's gardens.
Yeah, having a nosy. But, we get away, we get a coach together, and we stay maybe 2 or 3 days somewhere not far away and just have a really good time.
Yeah.
So that's our floral circle. Now, there's floral circles and garden clubs all over Auckland that you can join, and the way to find out about them is often you'll find, if you read the New Zealand Gardener magazine, there are listings of the local ones near you. So that's a good way. How did you find out about it?
Well, I just shifted into the area, and one day I was outside shaking my doormat, and a lady came up the driveway, and she said to me, "Do you happen to be a gardener?" And I said, "Come with me." And I took her out the back, and I had transported all my plants from my other place. They were in pots and buckets, and they were all up the side of the garden. And I said, "Do you think I'm a gardener or not?" And she said, "Well, it looks like." And she said, "Would you like to join our club?" And I said, "Oh, that's the first thing I wanted to do when I shifted out this way."
Okay.
Because up until then, I'd been working full time and hadn't given it much thought. I've always liked gardening, but I've mainly grown vegetables in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But where I am now, edges aren't quite so good in the soil. It's gradually coming right, but I'm preferring the flowers and getting more pleasure out of that way. So that's how I started.
I think for me, I must have been gone to one of those craft fairs.
Oh, yes.
And got talking with a lady. Oh, I've forgotten her name, but she told me about the floral circle. At the time I was quite busy, but I really wanted to learn more gardening, and then a year or two later I finally had the time to devote to it. So I'm really glad she told me about it, because to learn from all these people who are keen about gardening and flowers was really good. And then I got invited to do flowers for my church.
Oh, really?
And I thought, I need to learn more. So that kind of gave me the incentive to join up.
Well, you should be doing arrangements for our floral
table. I'm not the expert, though. I'm still a beginner.
But that's the fun part.
Yeah. So let's talk about flowers, Bev. What do you love about flowers? And you said you were growing veggies, but flowers seem to do better where you are.
Yeah. Well, now that I'm retired, I've got more time too, and I just love growing flowers, especially for the butterfly, the monarch butterflies and the bees. I mean, of course, birds as well, but that's not quite so important. Well, it is, but it doesn't matter. But growing the flowers, I usually make sure they're ones that the butterflies or the bees like.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment in my garden, I have a lot of zinnias.
Mm.
They're good for this time of the year. And just this morning I was looking and there was a butterfly landed on the zinnia, and his proboscis went right down into the pollen, the nectar, little stamen part.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you could see as it went down, he lifted up, and it was so good to watch. And better the yellow and the orange ones. Obviously, the red ones they don't like so much.
So bees and butterflies and birds, the three bees. Growing flowers brings more life into your garden, I found.
Yes.
Yeah. And also cut flowers for your inside as well.
Well, I'm a bit funny there. I don't actually like cutting any of the flowers. I only do that on a very special occasion, perhaps for my daughter's birthday or something like that, and I'll cut some because I'd rather them stay in the garden. Where I am, I don't get a lot of sun, and I just have to appreciate any flowers that do come.
Ah, okay.
Because I haven't got enough there to cut. Once they're cut, you don't see anything in the garden. It's just this time of the year. Summer's better because the sun's higher.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, but
in spring when they all come out, when they all start to come out. But now, this time of year, it's going into autumn, winter. So what flowers could we be seeing coming up, Bev?
Well, you've got the bulbs, but also if you're going to plant seedlings, it's a good way to remember the peas. It's poppies, polyanthus, primulas and pansies.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
They're the main ones. And then, of course, there's calendulas. That's known as the winter marigold.
Mm-hmm.
What else is there? Oh, stock, in violas. Violas go on longer than pansies. They like the hot weather. So you can still plant them, but they'll keep on going and going, whereas pansies might collapse when it gets a bit hot.
They like the cooler season.
Yes.
So pollies, pansies and primulas.
And poppies.
And poppies, sorry.
Yes.
I'm getting all my teas mixed
yes.
up.
Yes, I know. It's a good way to try and remember what you need to plant.
Ah, okay. There is one of my favourites. It's also a pea. It's called the sweet pea.
Oh, yes.
But is this the right time to plant them, Bev?
Yes, I'm not really in. Yes, it is, I believe. I'm not into sweet peas. I've got nowhere to put them.
Oh,
they
yeah.
need to grow up something.
Yeah.
It's best so that they, if you have them in now, then they'll be flowering sort of springtime. You don't want them flowering too much into the summer because they can get rust if it gets too hot.
Mm.
But I think our garden club was talking about it last month, weren't they, saying for people to plant them.
In May, they said, which
Did
is
they? Oh,
well, this just, month.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there's going to be a sweet pea competition at the Auckland Horticultural Centre.
Yes. The last couple of times I've had it, there's hardly been any entries, and that's why they think that we should really get stuck in and do some.
So, yeah, that's... For everyone listening, if you can get your sweet peas coming up, by when do they have it? I think September. Yeah.
Probably.
Or November. I'm sorry, listeners, I'll get back to you on that. But have a think about planting some sweet peas so you can have enough to enter into the competition. But sweet peas are one of my favourites because of the lovely smell.
Yes, they are lovely.
And so, Beth, what about bulbs? Around this time?
Well, you should actually have all your bulbs in by now.
Mm.
And it's a good tip if you can start looking for them in February. Now, in February it's really hot and you don't feel like planting bulbs. You think, oh, they're a winter thing, and it doesn't just enter your head at all. But that's when you must go out and buy and start getting them into the garden. If you see anything from now on, it'll be marked down and it won't be any good.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, they should all be in. And, of course, when you do get them in February or early March, the tulips must go into the fridge for at least 6 weeks.
Mm.
Not any other bulbs, just tulips.
Yeah.
So,
because they like the cold.
That's right.
Auckland is too warm, isn't
it? Exactly.
Mm. Now, I do have my freesias in because I was given them. I haven't planted too many bulbs this season because I already had some from last year and they kept multiplying. But are you meant to, like, dig them out each season, though?
Well, freesias you wouldn't. I tend to... I don't have a lot of bulbs because... My garden not being huge, I'm scared if I have them in the garden, I'll put the spade through them when they're dormant and that's it. My freesias I have in troughs and a couple of pots, and I have irises, which I love them, and I have got a lot of them.
Yeah.
I don't have any daffodils. I don't want any. I like them. I like other people's daffodils.
Yes, they can be messy, can't they?
Yes, exactly. Ranunculus and anemones, I don't have. We do have one lady that does have them and she has a beautiful display, but as I say, they should all be in by now.
Yeah. But I'd say the top one would be freesias because they're so good in Auckland.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Yes, mine are all up quite high, so that's one thing I have got.
Yeah, I can see them poking up now, so they're getting ready.
Oh, that's good.
Well, I guess for the winter flowers that you might be seeing over winter, if we're looking out for them, and one that's popped into my head is the Daphne.
Oh, yes, lovely perfume.
So that's one of the main ones, and hellebores.
Right. Yes, you're quite right.
So all is not lost over winter.
You should go out into your garden centres and looking to see what there is at the moment. And a tip, if you can visit your garden centre about once a month, then you can see what's flowering and what's in, you know, and you get something each time you go, then you've always got something in your garden that is in flower or...
Yeah.
Instead of just going once a year and then you miss out on a lot of things.
Just make regular trips.
Yes.
Weekly, if you can.
I know.
we're not pumping any particular garden centre, are we? We're just...
Yeah. Well, if you're interested, it's just good to see what there is around.
Yeah, even if you don't buy anything, you can just have a look because it's just fun to go and have a look.
And then you see something and then you can say to the other people, oh, have you got such and such? I wouldn't mind a piece of that.
Now, Viv, a listener had asked me, how do you go about pruning hydrangeas? And, she wants to know what the best advice is for that. Can you?
Yeah, well, that's relatively easy. First of all, you take all the skinny bits or the dead bits out. And then basically you cut down to the first good two fat buds that you've got, and because those ones will be the flower buds. If you've not had many flowers on your hydrangea bush, it'd be best just to leave it alone. If it's not an old bush, sometimes it's just best to leave it.
Okay.
And just give it a good feed and mulch. And
okay. So if there are flowers and they're all going brown, would you just cut off?
Definitely, yeah.
And just sort of leave it to the big fat buds. Yeah, and if you don't cut into the ones that are going to flower, because then you won't have any flowers.
No, don't cut past those buds, or you'll be cutting all your flowers off. For some unknown reason, I mean, my garden is relatively new. My hydrangea didn't have any flowers this year, so I'm going to leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter's got one at the back of the garden in another part, and hers only had one on it.
Aww.
And I'm sure we just didn't look after them enough.
Okay.
In the summer. It was very dry and very hot.
Yes.
And because they just don't die, I didn't think of watering them.
Oh, no.
I know, but they do need to be.
Yeah.
I mean, you do see established hydrangeas that have been around for years and years and they don't need any water, but I think both of ours were a little bit young and needed a bit more attention, a bit more TLC.
Yeah. I think the same with mine because I had two. The next door neighbour's tree got chopped down and because a storm hit it and it fell on the house.
Oh,
and
goodness.
So my hydrangeas that used to be in some shade got...
Oh.
Yeah, exposed to the light.
Right.
And so they weren't very happy. So I thought, oh, I'd better move them to somewhere shadier.
Right.
So I've moved them, but they weren't looking very happy. And I did cut them down because I think if you can cut them down, it's possible, and they'll resprout from the base.
Yes.
So hopefully I haven't killed mine.
Oh, you won't have killed it.
No.
Definitely not.
Yeah. Now they're in a happier spot. So, hydrangeas do prefer a bit of shade.
Yes, they definitely do. If you go visiting the botanical gardens or something like that, you'll see that the hydrangeas are always in the shady parts.
Mm.
I remember years and years ago I went to a botanical garden, or was it a park in Nelson of all places, but the hydrangeas down there, because of the cold as well, the colours were just out of this world. And they were just so happy where they were, you could tell.
Yes, and a thing about hydrangeas, probably people know this, but if you don't know, they're lovely. They can change colour, can't they?
Yes, they can. It's one thing that growers can grow and have got really no... You can't just grow pink geranium and think that it's going to stay pink. It all depends on the soil, as
yes.
you probably know. And
so if you've got acidy soil, it'll go blue, and if you've got alkaline soil, it'll go pink, and if you've got a mixture or two, it might go purple.
Yes, I quite like the purple ones. So if you actually want pink ones, you feed them the lime, and the way to remember that, lime begins with L, and ladies begin with L, and ladies are for pink, so that's all big long... It's a good way to remember that lime is produces the pink. And then you've got your aluminium sulfate for the blue flowers.
Mm.
But I think that makes The suppliers make that easy these days, and I think it's just called blue, what is it? Blue something.
Blue
hydrangeas or something simple. They don't think we've got any brains these days to work it out.
If you can't get that, I've heard a tip, you just bury some iron nails in the soil and it sort of makes them get the iron from the nails, which is acidy. So, but then I was thinking, couldn't you just put coffee grounds on them? I don't know.
Coffee grounds are pretty neutral, aren't they?
I heard that they were quite acidic. And acid-loving plants like them. So, I don't know, have a go, because I've put a whole lot of acid, well, not acid, coffee grounds on my blueberries, because blueberries love acid soil. And they really liked it. So.
Yeah, no, that'd be good. Are they just in the soil, not in the pot?
The blueberries?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in the soil. So it was sort of like a mulch for them.
Right.
Yeah, blueberries have also got a lovely kind of multicoloured foliage too.
Mm, it is. It's, I put pine needles on mine. Not the fresh ones, the ones underneath the layer. I go in and weather some pine trees and scoop all the top stuff off and get the bottom stuff and put bags of that around mine.
It's really good stuff. Another thing about hydrangeas is some of them can be white and they don't change colour at all. No matter what you do to them.
No. They can get a pink tinge on them, but that's just the weather, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, so listeners out there, have a go at growing hydrangeas. Would it be okay to start putting them in the ground now?
Because absolutely, yes.
Yeah, so shrubs and trees, time to think about planting them to get them established.
And they grow very easily by cuttings, so if you've got anyone you know, you could get some easily.
I did, when I was working in one of the retirement villages, and you know how ladies just love flowers, especially older ladies. And there was one huge big hydrangea bush outside their apartments that one of the ladies really didn't like it. And she was always telling us gardeners to, like, get rid of it.
Oh, really?
But we didn't want to. We just sort of let it grow. And she would always put, every time she saw us working in the garden, because we were looking after the garden, she'd try and tell us to get rid of it. But my boss said no.
What was it?
It was just a hydrangea.
Oh, it was. Okay.
But it was really big. It was, like, 3 metres wide and you could trim it back to get it compact, but it would just grow again. And
they
the flowers
do.
Are enormous. And I thought it was the biggest, most beautiful hydrangea I'd ever seen.
Yeah, but they do get too big. And I can understand the one that I've got. It's all right where it is at the moment, but when it gets three times its size, I'm not going to like it anymore. It'll be taking up too much room with other valuable plants.
Okay.
We'll just wait and see.
Oh, dainty. Maybe stick with, like, pansies. Bit more controllable. How about roses, Dev? Are you a big fan of roses?
Oh, yes, I do love roses. I don't have it. I only have a mutabilis and a little climbing one. I haven't got room to have roses, and I... because they don't flower in the wintertime and they're all bare, it's not my type of garden. Mm-hmm. I like my garden to look good all the time.
Yeah.
And roses, if you're going to grow them properly, you do have to work at it.
Yeah.
What with the spraying and pruning and...
Oh, the pruning, the prickly,
yes.
The prickles.
I know, I go down to Tarawera once a year to prune my cousin's roses and it's a two-day job and have big, huge, long leather gloves to put on. Yeah.
So, Bev, have you got any pics of your kind of favourite flowers at the moment? Or?
Well, there's such a lot of nice ones. Possibly my favourite would be the clivia because I have a lot of shade. I used to grow clivias for a couple of landscapers and I just love them. They're such a clean plant, and even when they've finished flowering, you've got the seed head on it. like the yellow ones have a yellow seed pod and the red ones will have a red. I don't have the orange ones now anymore. I just have the red, a couple of different yellows and an apricot one. But they're so hardy and they can be just under trees on top of roots and they'll still grow.
Yeah.
And you do not have to water them.
Yeah. Bonus.
I know. And I do probably love them the most, believe it or not.
Oh, because, yeah, we do have some of those in our church garden. A lady donated some and we're putting them in and they can just grow on top of the soil. You don't really even need to dig them in because the roots are so tough. And then they will just stay there for years and years. And
absolutely.
Just indestructible.
Yeah, they don't get eaten by anything much. Sometimes the snails like the flowers, but you go out there late at night with a torch, you can find a few snails and you can throw them over there.
Now, you don't, in a previous show, Karen and I talked about the war on slugs and snails, and I came up with the idea, well, why don't we just harvest them and eat them? And she said, oh, you can do it, Selena. Next time, you've got to show us your dish, and I haven't done it yet.
You just have to clean them out, don't you? You put them in so that they're just eating, I don't know if it's some sort of wheat or not wheat.
Bran,
is it? Yes. So the innards are all clean because they do actually just use the ordinary snails, but you've just got to farm them right, get them clean.
I just wonder what they taste like. But that's an experiment that... Yes, I'm pleased to do one day. All right. One thing also, touching on more flowers that we love, begonias.
Oh, yes.
Karen and I entered a competition that her mother begged us to enter, which was to grow a begonia in a pot.
Right.
And so we did, we entered, and... I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but I got third prize.
Fantastic.
So happy because I don't think my begonia was that pretty, actually. I think the other contestants were, but maybe I was.
Was it a tuberous begonia?
Yes.
What colour?
Red.
Lovely.
And, they're really lovely flowers, and especially in hanging pots.
Yes, I do have a few, not too many.
All right, Viv, we're nearing the end of our show. Shall we talk about our floral circle? If you would like to join up or come to our meetings, when do we have them?
They're the third Tuesday of the month,
aren't they? Yeah, at the chapel in Te Aditu Peninsula.
Yeah, in Beach Road.
In Beach Road, so if you're out that way... Or just give us an email at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com to find out more and come learn from our gardeners. And yes, and Bev will be IDing all your flowers that you bring along. So, yes. Happy gardening, everyone. Thanks, Bev, for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Selena.
Bye for now.